I'd actually never heard that story before, so thank you. You learn something every day, don't you? Do you think we could all move forwards one more time? Because I can still see a little trickle of people heading this way. I mean, if you want to leave, that's fine as well, so don't feel trapped in any sense. Okay, so just to let you know, what I'd like to do is talk for a bit, maybe 20 minutes or so, and then just open it up for discussion. So at that point, we'll just see what arises, who's got what kind of topics or questions or reflections or whatever, and it'll kind of flow between us. And when that happens, we can use the second microphone to make sure we all hear. So first of all, welcome. Yeah. And if it's your first time at the festival, a special welcome. I love it when people come here for the first time. Special welcome, yeah. And we've been running this maybe 23 years now, I think. And each year we try and kind of reflect on the previous year and then tweak it a little bit to kind of make it better, really. And some of the feedback we got last year was that we've had all these fascinating themes year after year. Last year was simplicity. This year is the dance of life and death. And we explore the themes in loads of ways. But we'd kind of forgotten to offer any teaching on basic Buddhism to folk who might be here, because it is, after all, the Buddha Field Festival, but who wanted something on basic Buddhism. So we thought, oops. We do basic meditation, but we've not done basic Buddhism. So this is the first of three sessions on basic Buddhism. And same time tomorrow, same time Saturday. So come back if you want. But they all stand alone. And Buddhism, you can talk about it from lots of different points of view. Somebody, I'm not sure who, took the decision to look at what's called the threefold path, ethics, meditation, and wisdom. So here we are looking at ethics. And I suspect, I'm not sure, that ethics is not the most appealing or sexy word in the, you know, in the kind of festival goers' vocabulary. It's not up there with tantra or mystical or healing or whatever. So anyway, here we all are, never mind. But ethics is very much a kind of foundation for any serious Buddhist practice. And when the Buddha was in his last days, an old man of 80 or so, walking around India, he kind of went on a tour of his followers, who were little groups all dotted about in the jungle or the towns. And it's all recorded in one of the great kind of sutras, almost sagas of the Buddhist tradition. And he went to all these groups one by one, and he just gave them the same teaching again and again and again, which was precisely that the Buddhist path consists of ethics as your foundation, meditation as your mind training, and then wisdom and insight as your kind of breakthrough to enlightenment. So without ethics, your meditation is never going to go very deep or be very strong. But without meditation, your insight or your wisdom is never going to really mature. So ethics is a kind of foundation. But for lots of people, it's not their starting point. So we run Buddhist centres dotted around. People come to them. And generally, what they want is to learn meditation. That's the kind of most common starting point. They don't come to us because they want to learn ethics. But they come and learn meditation, that's fine. And then you start meditating. And then you kind of learn, you start observing, really, what your mind does. And often you'll find, it's quite humiliating, your mind goes off in all kinds of directions when you least want it to. And all kinds of directions that really quite take you by surprise. And the Buddhist teaching is that that's because, more than likely, your life, you know, off the meditation cushion in the real world, needs looking at, needs addressing in some way, in other words, your ethics. So then you kind of got to take a step back from your meditation practice. Just look at your life. How are you choosing to live your life? which is often quite a long, slow process, because to change your life might not be easy, depending what you discover. So anyway, that's a common starting point. So Buddhist ethics, yeah. It's my belief that the kind of deepest truths in Buddhism are often the very easiest to state. You can state it in an instant, but they're very difficult to kind of really absorb and make your own and live by. So the kind of starting point for ethics is that actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. It's just three little words, very simple. I've said it twice. Actions have consequences. And that really does sum up Buddhist ethics. But I don't know how many of us could really put our hands on our heart and say we live with a kind of full awareness that our actions, we know our actions have consequences. We tend to go around a bit kind of blundering through the world, a bit just acting out our kind of habits and bad habits, without a great deal of thought or forethought or anything really. But the fact is, at least Buddhism says, the fact is, actions have consequences. So I'd just like to explore that a bit. And the consequences for Buddhism are kind of twofold. There's first of all the consequences out in the world. Okay, so imagine you're out there somewhere and you do something. Imagine you shout at somebody. Okay, that'll have a consequence for the poor person you shout at. They will feel shouted at. And quite likely they'll feel a bit upset, they'll feel angry, they'll feel it's not fair, whatever, startled. Or if you just do something really nice, you know, you give somebody a gift unexpectedly, it'll have a consequence out in the world. That's fairly obvious, but it also, all these actions have a consequence for ourselves. And basically Buddhism says, through our actions in the present, we kind of mould our future being. We create ourselves through our actions. Particularly our habitual actions, which we do habitually again and again, will just become that sort of person. So you go around shouting or being angry or whatever, you'll literally just become in the habit of being an angry, shouty kind of person, and that'll be you. And once you're in that kind of rut, for better or worse, you just tend to go along it and it tends to get deeper. So actions have consequences in the world and for us. And that holds true whether they are what you might call unethical actions or ethical actions. Buddhism says all our actions have consequences. Some are obviously more dramatic than others, but all our actions. Buddhism likes to be very, very systematic. So it kind of divides the person into three. There's body, speech, and mind. Which is interesting. Most of Western philosophy divides the person into body and mind, or body and spirit, body and soul. But for Buddhism, it's body, speech, and mind, which are three equal components of ourselves. And our actions that we can look at from an ethical point of view are our actions of body, what we do, our actions of speech, what we say and how we say it, and our actions of mind, which are kind of more internal and more secret, but they're nevertheless going on in our heads all the time. You know, actions of mind. But all of these have some effect in the world and some effect on us, kind of moulding us into this or that sort of person. So I think if you start reflecting on that, I don't know what the effect will be on you, but often it's quite kind of sobering. You think, oh my goodness, you know, does it really matter if I go around being like this or like that? So the first thing is to, in a way, take it seriously. The second thing is to realise we have a choice. For Buddhism, it's just axiomatic that we have choices as to how to be. Choice is a mysterious thing because it's quite hard to identify the precise moment where you make a choice. There's so many things kind of pushing you in a certain direction, and you can so easily kind of argue it wasn't really a choice, you know, it was all your conditioning or something. Before Buddhism, we can make choices. And for Buddhism, the moment of choice opens up through awareness. You've got to have that in the moment awareness of here I am about to do something, and then you can choose. Yeah? If you haven't got that awareness right there, you're not really choosing, you're just rolling along doing whatever it is. So we talk, a little phrase we've got is learning to dwell in the gap. So the gap is between whatever stimulus comes into us and whatever choice we make to do something. You know, if somebody shouts at you, you've got a choice, what are you going to do? But you can only exercise your choice if you're aware enough in the moment to kind of choose. So, but choice is there. And the more awareness we've got, the more we can genuinely make a choice. Yeah. So Buddhist ethics is, first of all, I'd say, just reflecting on that simple truth, actions have consequences. Secondly, kind of taking seriously that we have a choice, we really do have a choice. And then thirdly, kind of taking a series of decisions, how we want to guide our actions, what kind of actions we want to perform, which means what kind of person we want to become in the future. So at this point, Buddhism kind of starts to talk about ethics as a training ground. It's very important to say this is not a set of commandments that comes down from some mountain on tablets of stone, even though they might sound like that or even get talked about that. It's not commandments. It's a kind of training which comes to us as advice from the Buddha, for sure, but not commandments. And the training, in a way, is a training to become more and more like the Buddha was. So if we are inspired by the example of the Buddha, that's going to be more attractive. If you've never heard of the Buddha, he probably won't particularly inspire you because you've never heard of him. But the Buddhist training in ethics is a kind of training to become more like the Buddha in these areas of body, speech and mind. And the principle there is, if you train in a certain way, you'll become more like that. That applies in all areas of life. If you train in judo, you become a judo master. If you train in piano, you become a piano player. If you train in cooking pancakes over there, you'll become a pancake maker. So it's not different. If you train in becoming like a Buddha, you'll become a Buddha. Great. So they're not commandments. They're kind of advice from a trainer to us if we want to be trained. And they're not rules at all. Because rules, first of all, it's the wrong model. There's no kind of God to give any rules in Buddhism. And secondly, rules are incredibly blunt instruments. They never apply very easily to the complexity of life. So life, I'm sure you'd agree, is an incredibly complicated thing. And the considerations involved in lots of situations are very complicated. And you just can't make rules to tell you what to do. All you can do is offer certain training principles and then leave the responsibility with each of us to choose what to do in that moment. And I like that. It puts the responsibility really clearly on the individual to choose what to do. And underlying this is a kind of lovely notion in Buddhism that what we're trying to do is become more and more skilled. So Buddhism doesn't talk about sin. You're not a sinner or a saint, come to that. It doesn't talk about sin. It doesn't even talk about good and evil. It talks about skillful and unskillful. So it kind of invites us, through our training, to become more and more skillful. Which is, I like the idea of being skilled. A skilled person living in the world. The Buddhist word is kushala, as opposed to unskilled. And then you take your skill out into the world and just sort of go through doing the best you can, which is all we can do. So, Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, the kind of classic rules, not rules, but Buddhist training in ethics. So over the centuries, lots and lots of different Buddhist traditions have grown up all around the world, but particularly Asia. And so they've all kind of developed their own codes and ways of doing things. But I think common to all of them is what's called the five precepts, which is these five training rules, training grounds. So they cover the area of body, speech and mind, I've referred to already. And yeah, there's something you can train in, absolutely, whether or not you like the label Buddhist. That's quite important to say. You can follow these Buddhist ethics, whether you're a Buddhist or not. Because in a way, the qualities you're training in are just totally human qualities. Yeah? So I'll tell you what they are, and we can kind of discuss them as we go along. So the first one is a training in non-violence. What you aim to do is always move away from the unskillful and move towards the skillful. It's like two sides of the coin. So you're trying to move away from violence, whatever that might be in whatever situation, body, speech, or mind, etc., etc., towards non-violence, which you could just call love, if you wished. That's obviously not a rule, it's just a kind of direction. And how you'd put that into practice in any moment, you know, is going to be quite an individual thing. But that's the primary ethical training ground in Buddhism. Move away from violence, move towards love. The next one is move away from, you could call it stealing, taking, exploiting. Buddhism likes to talk about taking the not given. It's kind of stealing, but slightly more subtle. So you move away from taking the not given, or any kind of exploitation, or appropriation, or whatever, towards generosity. You just look, what can I give in any situation? It's a lovely, abundant kind of attitude to the world. The third one is move away from any kind of sexual misconduct, which obviously comes in all shapes and sizes, crude and subtle. Just move away from sexual misconduct towards contentment. So rather than trying to grab, you know, this or that person generally, just cultivate a kind of inner contentment and richness and wholeness and abundance. You know, it's not saying be a monk or nun, but it's saying cultivate contentment and act out of that. So those are the three precepts to do with actions of body: non-violence or love, non-stealing or generosity, and sexual misconduct or contentment. With speech, speech is incredibly multifaceted, and there's so many ways we can act badly with speech. But the classic Buddhist precept just says avoid untruthful speech. Just don't go around lying, or spreading falsehoods, or exaggeration, or distortion, or whatever, whatever, whatever. Move away from untruthful speech, move towards truthful speech. Then you've kind of got to combine that with sensitive speech, skillful speech, helpful speech, harmonious speech, you know, and sometimes it gets quite tricky. How do you speak the truth in a tricky situation? But that's the speech precept. And then the last one is move away from intoxicants. The question of intoxicants in Buddhism is very interesting, actually. It's whatever clouds your mind. It's whatever kind of blows away your mindfulness. And by contrast, you cultivate mindfulness. Mindfulness clear and radiant. So intoxicants come in some obvious forms, drink and drugs, yeah? But Buddhism says, actually, youth and beauty are incredibly intoxicating. They really are. They just blow away your mindfulness, and you go around thinking you are God's gift and immortal and invulnerable and so on and so on. And you can act very badly just because you're intoxicated with your youth and health and beauty. So it's not saying don't be young and beautiful, not at all. It's saying don't be intoxicated. with your youth and beauty. And instead, just cultivate awareness in all its dimensions. So those are the five classical Buddhist precepts, which I think are common to the whole Buddhist world. They're very general, as you can see. How you put them into practice in any moment is a very personal decision. And there's always tricky dilemmas about what you do. We can talk about some of them if you like. So what some people do, and I think it's really useful, is take what you can call personal precepts. So there you are, you're trying to give up smoking. It's a kind of intoxicant, it's an addiction, whatever. A personal precept would be, let's give up smoking. For Lent or for good, whatever you like. Another personal precept might be, get out of bed in order to meditate in the mornings. Personal precepts come in all shapes and sizes, and you choose. It's just where you take the five general precepts and focus on one thing or another. But it kind of makes it more pointed, more focused. So ethics, that's a really quick introduction to ethics. But a couple more things I want to say. First of all, some people, when they talk about ethics, love to make it quite abstract. And there's lots of topical issues about ethical issues. There's veganism, that's a big topical one. There's GM crops, I haven't actually thought of a list in advance. There's, inclusivity versus, protecting your community, all kinds of things. But Buddhism prefers to talk about ethics in a personal, practical way. How are you going to live your life? Rather than getting diverted into more philosophical, abstract areas. Another quick thing I want to touch on is that, as we start to reflect on our ethics, we probably start to realise how often we blow it, we get it wrong, we act unethically, we let ourselves down, and so on and so on. So the question then arises, what to do next? Imagine you have gone out there and done something you regret. What to do next? So the obvious thing is don't do it again. But sometimes you've got to go a little bit further than that. So there is a kind of branch of Buddhist ethics which most people don't like because it kind of makes them squirm a bit, which you could call confession. So that's quite a loaded word. You start thinking of those little boxes in churches where you go inside and feel embarrassed. But confession is kind of just facing up fairly and squarely to what you have done. So if you have done something, it's much better to face up to it fairly and squarely. So in Buddhism, confession is first of all acknowledging you've done something, shouted at somebody or whatever. Secondly, telling it to another person. It's kind of acknowledging it to yourself, but kind of not quite making it public, but at least making it a shared experience. Somebody hears your confession. And that's quite a big step often, because I know for me there's an instinct to keep it all private. Thirdly, confession in Buddhism is thinking, what can I do to put matters right? Sometimes there's nothing you can do, sometimes you can actually go and apologise, and that's a good thing to do. And then fourthly, you think, how can I stop the thing arising again? How can I guard against it again? So confession in Buddhism's got these four stages. Yeah, and if you have done something and it is weighing on your mind, to kind of go through them will make you squirm, but it's kind of a liberating thing to do. At the end of it, you know you've done the right thing. You've just sort of faced it and gone beyond it. So the danger with ethics is you talk about it, I could talk about it, and it all sounds ever so serious and not a great deal of fun. I don't know how it sounds to you, but it can sound ever so serious and not a great deal of fun. But I don't think that's how it should be. So I think a really nice way to talk about the ethical life in Buddhism is a life where you're creating beauty. You're trying to go through your life making your life and your actions and the world around you beautiful. And that's nice, you know. You might be doing all these things, but it's in the service of beauty. If beauty doesn't work for you as a kind of motivating word, purity is also a beautiful word. Just kind of becoming more and more pure. More and more kind of pure, yeah. But also you can think about it in terms of play. You know, you're going through your life and you're trying to learn to play just really well. Sometimes you see people playing and there's a kind of lovely, delightful, kind of innocent delight there. And there's no competition and there's no point scoring and there's no manipulation. It's just people taking delight in each other in a really playful way. So ethics, I think, starts off, goes through a phase of being quite a training ground. But then ideally, we come out of it more and more naturally, a kind of new way, more generous, more content, more loving, etc., etc. And then you can kind of relax because you are that person. Do you see what I mean? You're naturally that kind of person. And then, it becomes this kind of playful dimension comes in. So, just one more kind of dimension of ethics, which was a description of the Buddha. He was often talked about as the trackless one, Akirika, I think it was. It's kind of after he'd gone through, you couldn't sort of, there was no trace. And I find that slightly mysterious, but quite beautiful. So most of us, to some degree, go through life making a mess. People might love us for it, but you know, and it's kind of who we are. But you can kind of go through life making a mess, like a sort of a wake. But the Buddha seemed to go through life, tracklessly. He just, you know, there was no trace. For instance, this festival, we could have a festival and leave and there'd be a rubbish ground here. But we aim to go through this piece of land, have a festival, leave and leave no trace. So it's kind of meant to be a really positive thing. Yeah. Just the very last thing, because this is the theme is the dance of life and death, is that I said that if we practice ethics, we're creating our future. So hopefully our future is our life tomorrow, our life next year, and so on and so on. But it's also, at some point, our tomorrow is going to be our death. We're going to bump up against our death. And when death comes, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I kind of want to approach it, I don't know, with the best possible preparation, so that whatever does happen, I'm the best prepared for it. And Buddhism says very strongly that the ethical life prepares you for death, because you've cultivated all these positive qualities, because you haven't gone through life leaving complete chaos and mess and bad relationships behind you. You can just sort of go into that complete unknown, ready for it. Yeah. So that's yet another reason to be ethical.